Welcome back, everybody, to Love is an Open Door, a podcast where we go through every Disney movie and associated property. Could be a theme park, could be like a TV show, and talk about the queerness and the queer coding within Disney. And also just because we're giant nerds for Disney, and we'll talk about anything Disney, and we'll probably go off onto side tangents about that. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Rachel.
And we're here. We made it. And April's in bed early. Why is she in bed early?
She's not in bed early. It's 8:30. It's her bedtime. She kicked me out. So she has, within the past couple weeks, gone. And I was actually reminded the other day that on my last podcast, people were complaining that I talked about my kid too much and I had her on too much. And
Somebody said that?
I think it was a comment we got. It was years ago. Like my sister-in-law reminded me of that, and I was like,
I don't remember seeing that. You're talking about a different show.
I was talking about my other podcast that I used to do with my friend Sam. But she's 4 years old, and she's gone in just the last few weeks from wanting you to just completely usher her through bedtime to wanting to do probably like 60 to 70% on her own, which is good and bad. She wants to brush her teeth on her own, but she's not very good at brushing her teeth, for example. Usually I stay in bed with her after we read her story for like a couple of songs. And she didn't want that. She accused me of messing up her blankets because she had them just the way she wanted. And she said, "You messed up my blankets." Like, "I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to." And she looks at me, she goes, "Get out." And I'm like, "Yes, ma'am."
And you left and went to the kitchen and got that drink. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. A Mother's Day drink.
Well, I was bragging about how my husband got me some really cool, like, fun
you're saying you were bragging. What the listeners don't know is that for some reason our recording device like stopped and we had to restart the recording.
Yes.
Fun technological errors. I don't know. It's anyway. Continue on. I don't need to say you're gonna like review that.
Well, so. I was just gonna brag about my cute little Mother's Day gifts. It was a lot of cocktail related stuff, but it was mostly orange themed. So he also got me these orange bird earrings that are super super cute, just like orange bitters, dehydrated orange peels, and then these like. Some of them are, and then like these mid-century modern cocktail glasses, which aren't orange themed, but it's still on brand. So Mother's Day was nice.
Yeah. Is that what you guys did for Mother's Day? Like, did you do anything special other than some nice gifts and hang out with April?
We ordered breakfast in bed and nice. I hung out. Like I mentioned before we were recording, I was hungover because I seriously do not drink that much. Like this is like my little once a week cocktail treat when I record, or once every other week. But we were at it with family on Saturday night, and I knew my husband was driving, and I was like, well, tomorrow's Mother's Day. And I had several shots, and I don't know why I did it. My husband said I was just trying to look cool because I don't normally do that.
I feel like you just wanted to relive your college days again.
My college days were very tame. Mostly my early 20s. My early to mid 20s is probably what I was trying to relive.
That makes sense.
I did not feel well in the ensuing hours, so I did pay for it. I do not plan to do that again.
I mean,
but it helped that we didn't have anything to do on Sunday. I last year we went out, it was a madhouse. I didn't want to do that again. So we ordered Indian food for dinner, and that was
so good.
Absolutely lovely. Damn. I love Indian food.
Oh my god, so do I. Oh my god, so good.
So we didn't do anything, and it was the perfect Mother's Day. I really enjoyed it. And
that is really
April
wonderful.
Said happy Mother's Day to me unprompted like 20 times. It was very cute.
And then now that Mother's Day is over, she's like, "Get out of my room."
Yeah.
She's like, "You're not special anymore."
The fun part was when I was making dinner and she came into the kitchen while I was cooking. And I tried to involve her, but there was a lot of hot stuff and I just couldn't have her doing stuff, but she brought in the step stool and she was standing on it and like she was like, she had a toy mop that she was waving around like it was a sword and talking. And then I'm like trying to stir the sauce and she's like, "You're in my way. Get out. You're in my way." I'm like, "You get out. What is this? What is this?"
She having a Ratatouille moment over there? Like, what's going on?
She wasn't cooking. She said she was like, she said she was talking to her friends.
Okay, that's slightly creepy.
Well, it's a...
I know. I had imaginary friends when I was a kid. I had a lot of them. Like, mostly, like, the Ninja Turtles and, like, the cast of Tiny Toons. And then, like, the Elephant Man for some reason. I don't know why that...
All the Power Rangers were my friends. And the Spice Girls.
Okay, so I didn't have all the Power Rangers as my friends because I decided that me and my friends were the Power Rangers, so...
Well, they were my friends because I was also a Power Ranger.
Oh, that makes sense. I like that logic.
Yeah.
Well, I had a lot of dreams about the Ninja Turtles. That's what I remember from, like, my childhood, is, like, that. And then, like... I guess whatever I was consuming at the time. So, okay, this is actually fun. So, we're going to be talking about Aladdin today, but just a quick note here on imaginary friends. Like, when I was a kid, if I saw like a movie or something and it really stuck with me, or like a TV show, you know, like some piece of media, and then like I started dreaming about it, and you know when you're like a kid, you have these like dreams and they're so real, and you like really think that that animated character that you saw like is now your friend IRL. The way that I would,
yes,
like,
I used to think that.
What? Yeah,
wink, wink. used to... That's a thing that happened in my past. It doesn't happen
anymore. Happen any day
that
she's playing Baldur's Gate.
I don't form emotional attachments to any fictional characters.
Yeah, right.
Whatsoever.
God, don't even get me started on Johnny Lawrence from Cobra Kai, because like I've written extensive fan fiction at this point where I have like several seasons been a main character and also his love interest, where he like comes out as like bisexual. So anyway, that's not the point. The point is that when I was a kid, I would transpose that like imaginary friend into like a real object. So I would tell my parents like I would really want like the plushie of something. So I like feel like every single like Disney animal sidekick was somebody that like was a friend of mine. So I'm thinking like Miko and like Zazu and more prominently Yago. I remember being really obsessed with Yago, and like having rewatched Aladdin, I was like, not sure why I attached this because he's kind of annoying, but like I went through a huge Yago and Jafar phase when I was a child. I mean, that really should have said everything right there. But
so you know how we talked about in the Hercules episode how there's that like meme about Hades being like the gay best friend?
Yeah,
I feel like Yago would be like my idea of a gay sidekick best friend.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's my favorite gay in all of Aladdin. Favorite,
well, okay,
queer.
They're everyone. There's so much gay in Aladdin.
I know, that's why I specified he is my favorite.
This was actually a really fun watch. Like,
yeah,
with the, not to say that the other things that we watched wasn't fun. I mean, like, even Wish, I would be like, it had its parts, but like what we've done so far, we did Beauty and the Beast, where we're trying to figure out our footing on this show. And then we did, what was after that? We did Hercules.
Hercules.
And, you know, we did some research. This was like, this was just joy. Like, watching Aladdin was like so much joy. And we only agreed to watch the animated film, like the first one. But like, it kind of like spiraled me off and I started watching some of the other stuff. So I ended up rewatching the live action movies for the first time since it dropped in 2019. And I remember really not liking it originally, but watching the two back to back, I was like, this is actually pretty good. Like, it's actually not like Beauty and the Beast, where, you know, like the live action one was just such a it was dreadful.
It was
to like
chore.
It was. And Aladdin, it was just very pretty and fun, and it gets all the story beats right. Will Smith, even though he's not Robin Williams, is a fun genie. You just have to sort of remove that he's going to be a different kind of genie from Robin Williams, because, you know, he unfortunately passed away. I feel like if he had still been alive, they would have been like, hey, do you want to be the live action genie? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and
I
he
think
probably
Robin
would
Williams,
have said no.
I don't. Okay, well, his replacement is, oh my god, what's his name?
Dan Castellaneta.
Yes, because I ended up watching Return of Jafar today also. Because now I'm like, I'm an Aladdin kick, because I think It's really weird. I don't remember Aladdin being like the first Disney film I really grasped onto. Like, I know that as a kid, I really liked Little Mermaid, which really should have said that I was like gonna be gay because I had like Little Mermaid parties as a child. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we can talk about that when we get there. And I remember I saw like Bambi and I was like terrified of that movie. But I, you know, watching this movie, it was like the memory banks were coming back to me. So the thing with Yago came back to me. I remember I had the snake staff that Jafar had, and you like push this like little wheel on the back of it, and it would like make noise. It'd be like wow, 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 to like, because I wanted to like hypnotize people, you know, like. And I had the genie plushie.
Kinky, yeah. Go on.
Yeah. You're like, go on. I'm over here quietly writing a fan fiction in the corner. I had the genie plushie. I had Aladdin for the Sega Genesis, which was different from the SNES version. But eventually I ended up playing that one, too.
I had the little handheld Aladdin game that was like that was.
Oh,
was
the little tiger
Aladdin game. Yeah,
I think I had that.
I never figured it out, though. Like somebody got it for me because they knew I liked Aladdin. And I just never figure it out. Do you want to know how like obsessed I was with Aladdin?
I think we're both obsessed with Aladdin. This is going to become like a whole thing I'm discovering.
But do you want to know like my like little like here's how obsessed I am with Aladdin's story? So I was taking dance lessons when I was like really into when Aladdin was like really popular and I was really into it. And it might like I don't even know. I don't even, like when did this come out? 92?
Yeah. It was 1992. I'm Googling this right now because I'm trying to look at like other movies that came out.
I would have only been
time.
4. So this had to be a few years after it came out because I was taking dance lessons at like 6 and 7, yeah. Like just like little kid ballet lessons. And so I was still into it even then. And I love this movie so much that I successfully convinced my dance teacher to have our recital song be Arabian Nights. And that meant I got to wear a cute little pink genie costume.
I love it though. I love this. This is like such a great story. Like, so I'm hearing that we're both like big Aladdin fans, which is crazy because like in rewatching these movies, I'm like, Aladdin and Jasmine are the most flat, boring characters I've ever seen. But like everything around them is just so much fun.
I didn't find them as flat and boring. Like I think as you did. I like their little like flirtatiousness. I think it's a good precursor to what we got.
I do too. It's just hard because I find Jasmine very annoying.
I liked her. She was my imaginary bestie.
Yeah, and that's fine because when I watched the live action remake, I was like, no, I kind of get Jasmine's deal now. It's just it's. The version of Jasmine that I remember is the same one that they sort of portrayed in the Twisted musical. The one that's like...
Oh, the like, whiny and
the whiny, everybody deserves to be a princess. Like, you know, that's sort of what I remember. And I don't know, when I rewatched it right now, it's like I kind of still felt that way a little bit. But I agree. I mean, their chemistry is good. And I like that snarkiness she has when she figures out that he's Aladdin and... She's
because
like,
it is you. You're just wearing different clothes.
You know?
Which is not a line
from Aladdin. Like, she's like, doesn't that look like a poo down there? And he's like, no, that can't be a poo. And he's like, oh, man. Like, actually, in the live action remake, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Mina Massoud, I think, who plays Aladdin. Mm-hmm. His version of Aladdin, like, it's kind of comical. He's, like, so bad at lying, which is hilarious because he's like a street rat thief, and so he's like good at like sleight of hand, right? But like he cannot like come up with like a lie to Jasmine at any point in time, so right. She picks it up like so quickly. She's like, what are you even saying? It's like
that's one of my biggest like movie trope pet peeves is when a character is like obviously bad at lying.
Well, it was like kind of improvised. I think that's kind of the vibe I was getting, but like in that we have to try and do like a Tony Stark and Iron Man kind of riffing that became like the entire MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird, but it is funny. Like I was actually laughing out loud watching the remake, and I wasn't expecting that, so that was fun. The only thing that sucks is that Jafar is like he was still
nothing.
A little queer, but like not as queer as he is in the animated film,
no.
Where he's like
he's
so
boring.
Over the top.
He's so boring. In the live action
It's like, I don't know. It's so weird because I feel like everybody else in there was kind of at least trying to emulate the characters from the original movie. But like, he was just doing his own thing, which I guess like respect, right? Like, I can't really complain about that, but I don't know. So, okay. Yeah. Anyway, fun fact. This 1992 also has this like so many other movies that I love. This is going to be wild to me because the other movie that came out this year that I was obsessed with, which is like, I don't, maybe I saw this movie like a couple years later and I just falsely am remembering that I saw it the same year, is Batman Returns, which is not a movie like a child should be watching. Because I would have been like, what, 8, 9, something like that.
And yet it was on like ABC Family constantly.
Maybe that's how I saw it. Okay, I know eventually my parents had to buy it for me.
I've seen it because it was on TV. I have never seen the original, the first Tim Burton one. Yeah, it's scary.
It is scary. It's a great film. It's one of my favorite films of all time. It's so good. And you know what it was? I think my older sister was like, I need to make you watch this because Batman is great. But like, I remember her and everyone being obsessed with Catwoman, and like, rightfully so, because Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman still is the best Catwoman to this day. Like, she has not been topped. There's been some other great people that have played her over the years, but like, man, Michelle Pfeiffer is so good in that role. Anyway, so other movies that came out this year: Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Fern Gully, Cool World, Three Ninjas, like the first Beethoven Dogs movie that like had like 13,000.
What a banner year for family movies.
Yeah, okay, ready? Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, Wayne's World, right?
Of the honeymoon movie.
There's also, this wasn't a family film, but there's the movie Toys with Robin
Neither
Williams.
Is Cool World. Cool World is not a
Well, no, but I'm just, whatever. But the Dracula movie, the good one.
Coppola, Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, yes. And then Army of Darkness. What else do we have in here? There's Aladdin. It just popped up onto my feed. And I'm just like, there's all these different like rows I'm looking at. But I was just like looking at that and I was like, these are just some banner movies that came out this year. Like,
wait. I just thought of something involving Dracula, the Francis Ford Coppola version of Dracula. I was like, why am I thinking of Nick Cage? Because Nick Cage is Francis Ford Coppola's nephew.
What?
And he just played Dracula.
He just played Dracula. I was going to be like, what?
Ryan, have you ever seen Nicolas Cage's grave?
Oh, you mean the pyramid he's built for himself?
I have not seen it.
I'm going to look at it up right now. I just remember reading about it.
This has nothing to do with Aladdin, but it's one of those.
No, it doesn't, but now I'm looking at it.
It's one of those little like fun facts that I know that I like to tell people. Have you ever visited Nicolas Cage's grave? No, because he's not dead. Nope, you can visit it because he already bought it and anybody can go see it.
Yeah, there's like people posing in front of it. It's great. I found out recently because I had just watched like 3 Nicolas Cage movies in a row and like, I kind of like him as an actor because he's such a weird guy. And like every role he plays, he's just over the top. Yeah. Well, I begrudge
him nothing. He's great.
Yeah. I know. I had just watched Renfield and I watched like.
I still have to watch that.
I forget what it's called. The Five Nights at Freddy's, not Five Nights at Freddy's movie. That was.
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, it was Willy's Wonderland. I had watched Willy's Wonderland and Renfield. And what was the horror movie that he was in that was like Mandy? I had watched Mandy.
I fell asleep during Mandy.
Mandy's like a hard watch if you're not like a horror fan because you have to be really dedicated to like how
I was just really tired.
Anyway, back to Aladdin.
Yeah, back to Aladdin. It's pretty much a perfect movie except for the fact that it's kind of racist.
It is. Pretty racist. I would also say that like there's a lot of queer phobia happening in it too.
It's one of the few Disney movie. It's one of the few movies on Disney Plus that has the like content warning at the beginning.
It had the content warning for the sequel too, which I was not expecting.
I didn't rewatch the sequel. Mostly because it's got a lot of, I imagine because it has a lot of like racial stereotyped characters, and I don't believe a single one of them is played by a non-white person.
No, I was looking at that. And I was like really shocked because when I went to watch the remake, I think this is why the remake like did well is because it was more. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but like it definitely is.
They were like, we'll at least cast the Middle Eastern actor.
Yeah, and there was like Middle Eastern like sets and props and costumes mm-hmm. that looked like pretty accurate. And they did a lot of dance numbers that was more on par with that versus.
I think one of my biggest things that I didn't like about the remake, and it's been a while, I watched it in theaters and I haven't seen it since. It felt really like small, like they were trying to like portray Agrabah as this big town, but everything just felt like a set.
Yeah, no, I feel that way too. I feel like they like only had the set and that's what they had to work with. So
like the Prince Ali segment, I think really suffers from that, where it's like they're just shooting it from different angles, but you can tell
they
it's like
really are, just one block. Which is unfortunate because the dancing is like actually very good and mm-hmm. like the costuming is like beautiful, but you're right. I thought the same thing. I was like, there's a lot of people here and I keep feeling like they're moving forward, but they're still in the same spot.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think they had a lot of, I don't know what the budget was on that movie or like right. what they had access to, but it was like exactly what we're talking about, where it yeah. did feel very small and they used a lot of the same sets. But it was pretty. I can give it that.
Yeah, it was pretty.
I didn't want to die during it like I did during Beauty and the Beast.
You weren't like Sully in Monsters, Inc. watching Boo, like thinking he's watching her get crushed and you're just like pulling at your face like, oh no, yeah, what am I doing?
But yeah. Well, funny thing is that between both movies, though, I was like, there's not a lot of queer stuff in the remake, but there is still some stuff in there. Like, the genie is still a very gender-fluid character in both movies, which I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, mm-hmm. like I remembered that from a kid. Like, the genie's... So I was going to talk about Jafar, but, like, in rewatching this, I was like, I don't know, the genie's, like, really queer. Like, he's very queer. And he keeps on becoming, like, a girl and, like, doing drag bits, like, constantly to the point where I'm like, this is crazy, right? Like, mm-hmm. and, like his dedication to Aladdin, I was like, does the genie have a crush on Aladdin? It doesn't feel like that in the live-action remake because they gave him, like, a love interest. But, like, in the original animated film, it was, like, the genie, like, getting, like, fake breasts and putting, like, constantly posing as one of the girls and then, like... Be like, Al, my guy, like, he yeah. just is very gay. Like,
it was,
very
drag queen energy. Like, have you been watching the new Doctor Who episodes?
No, not yet.
Okay. So there's an episode 3 that I think just came out. The villain is played by Jinx Monsoon, who I know to be a drag queen. I haven't watched any Drag Race or anything like that, but I know Jinx. I know of Jinx Monsoon.
Yeah, I know the name too.
And
so.
Their character is like a gender fluid, evil drag queen character. You can tell they're having like a ton of fun with this role.
I was gonna say that's
so that's
amazing,
like
honestly.
That's like an evil drag queen. And then the genie was like felt like having like literally just watched that episode yesterday and then rewatching the movie today. Like the genie felt like the good twin to Jinx Monsoon's character.
I love that though. I mean, like yeah. even genie's design kind of looks like somebody doing drag of a man a little bit.
It felt more because I know that like Ursula, and we'll talk about this more when we talk about Little Mermaid. Like I know Ursula was based after a drag queen, but the genie felt more like an actual drag queen character.
Yeah. I agree 100%. And that is partially because like Robin Williams himself, like I mean, we don't know enough about his personal life or where he landed in terms of like sexuality.
But we know he wasn't afraid to do drag for
no, and he did it.
Work.
He did it like in so many different movies. Like he just liked doing it and that's fine. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and it got carried into the genie's character because I think Robin Williams improvised a bunch of these lines, you know,
like, yeah, like famously like the opening scene, because he also plays the peddler in the opening scene, like that was just all improv. Like they just gave him a bunch of stuff that he just improvised that whole scene.
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, what a delight. When Robin Williams passed away, like I was like legitimately, I think it was like the first celebrity death in my life that like made me like mm-hmm. I was like really sad, like, and I remember it happening and just coming home and I like put on Jumanji and was just like sad all night, you know what I mean? Like it was weird, like just such an icon. And I mean, like Carrie Fisher was sad too when she passed, but I didn't have that same reaction like I did with Robin Williams because like he's so embedded with like all of our childhoods because he played like every single character and was like, I mean, like they could hand him like like an empty script and be like, turn this into like a fully fledged movie. And it would be so good. It would be so, he was so funny. What a man.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. Rest in peace, Robin Williams. Like, he's a god now, sure. Right? Like,
yeah. Well, but, don't look into the cult Love Is One, because they literally think he's a god, but in a very problematic way.
I mean, I feel like anything that's in a cult way is problematic. Like, once when you start getting to that level with worshiping anything, I'm like, all right, calm down. But
yeah, I loved him. His character's great. It's a shame that about the conflict that arose from that him. Just kind of long story short, because other shows and stuff have covered this, but he was paid scale, and which is pretty low, and in exchange he said he didn't want the genie to be like the face of the movie, and as anybody who's looked at any marketing materials for this movie knows, he was the face of the movie.
Oh yeah,
his character was. It caused a lot of problems, and that's why he doesn't appear as the genie in the sequel.
Any of the other things, because
he was the genie. He did the genie again for the third movie, but then
he did.
That was like a big thing. It was like he came back as the genie, because Michael Eisner bought him a Picasso to say sorry. I am not kidding. I'm pretty sure it was Michael.
See, this
Eisner.
Is why we have Rachel on the show. I mean, besides her allyship to like the queer community, she knows so much Disney history that I do not. But Dan Castellaneta, is that how you
who also played Homer Simpson? Yeah, Dan Castellaneta.
Oh my god, that's all Homer Simpson, and he has continued to play the genie whenever the genie, like in Kingdom Hearts, whenever the genie's there, it's like Homer Simpson is like screaming out of the genie's mouth. And in his defense, I actually think he's a really good actor, because I watched Return of Jafar.
Yeah.
Right. Return of the Sith. And he does do a bunch of different voices like Robin Williams does. But when he's trying to do Robin Williams like regular genie voice, he sounds like Homer Simpson.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, as a kid, I had no idea he was.
I didn't either. I just knew his voice was
Robin
different.
Williams.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what's crazy is that this cast has come back to reprise, like the entire cast has reprised the roles for all the movies, the TV shows, any like other property that comes out. So like, say Kingdom Hearts releases a movie, like a game now, they're still playing those characters. Like,
yeah,
freaking Steve from Full House, it continues to be Aladdin. Jonathan Freeman continues to be Jafar. Like he's one of those people like Ursula, where he just always wants to play that character.
Point out that like a lot of these people are not working actors anymore. Like the guy, Steve, oh god, what's his name? Steve Weiniger, who played Aladdin, he's not an actor anymore.
He's like a
doctor. Come back and do. No, he's not a doctor. He's a writer. He became
a
producer.
Doctor. I guess
I don't think so.
Not.
Let's look it up. He did. He famously like. His most famous thing that I know of him, rather, was that he, I think he was a producer and a writer on the show Galahad. Yeah, he's a writer
God.
And producer.
Was he really? Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Well, I mean, that was a great show, period. Yeah, Galavant, there it is. There it is. Jesus.
Not Galahad. Yeah, you're right, Galavant.
Well, I looked it up, but so I cheated a little bit. But I never saw the second season of that. I watched the first one.
I started watching the second season and realized it wasn't going to be as good and just stopped.
But I was also surprised that Linda Larkin had continued to play Jasmine for many, many years after that. Like, you know, it's just.
And they got Gilbert Godfrey before he passed was doing Iago for everything. You can kind of replace Robin Williams if you get a good enough character actor, but Iago's voice is so distinct. I don't know who they're going to have play him now.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I don't know what they're going to do with that either. But I mean, in the movie, the live action one, they just like didn't really voice him. He just like mimicked people and didn't really talk. That's the way they found their way around that.
Which that's another reason why I don't like that movie, because Iago's my favorite part.
I know Iago was okay, but it's funny. It's like I opened this up saying like Iago's kind of annoying, but I'm still obsessed with him. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
I don't know.
Him. He has so many great lines. My favorite is, I think I'm going to have a heart attack and die from that surprise.
I wish I still had my little plushie. He was like my friend. He was my bestie for a while, you know? It's like, I'm looking, because I have Disney Plus open up right now, so I still see like the little icons of Iago on there. And you're right that he is kind of a gay character too. He's like a gay BFF, and it's like, but like more, I don't want to say it's a stereotype, but it is. But I do have some gay friends that are like that, are Iago, like that have that sort of like that aggressive, sardonic, sarcastic tone to their voice at all times. And I love it. I mean, I'm not that kind of gay, but I certainly have friends that are like that. So it's funny that Jafar has like a gay sidekick, but Jafar himself is also very gay, like complete with his eyeliner and his pinkies up and his like better than you attitude.
Do you think he's like 100% gay? Because he seems to really want to have relations with Princess Jasmine,
you're who we will trying point really out, hard to come around to what's is, going on there.
Is yeah. is a 15-year-old girl.
Okay, but my argument here is that they did that with Scar too, and they ended up cutting it because it was weird.
Okay, like, but they didn't cut it from Aladdin, so it's canon.
It is, but here's the thing is that like the bad parts of queer coding, like the original queer coding, is that like they would see that, or they wouldn't see, but the way that a villain would be written as a gay character and what why it was bad is that the gay people were also very predatory, you know, like, mm-hmm. and that is sort of like, it doesn't matter if he's gay, if he's a gay man, he may still like be predatory upon your daughters too. Like that was just sort of part of the queer coding.
Like
that's
just
the bad
just
part
general
of
like sexual evilness.
And what got cut from this movie is the song that Jafar was going to see to sing to Aladdin, where he strips Aladdin of his clothes and puts him up in chains and bondage. That got cut from the movie for reasons that are pretty obvious.
Yeah, that's can't have that.
He did get to have his moment where he took all the Sultan's clothes off. Jafar was taking a lot of men's clothes off this
movie. Well, there's that part when he sings Prince Ali reprise and he's using his magic and he's got Aladdin hanging upside down and he gives him a little slap on the face, which I never noticed before. And
yeah,
like, you know, this movie is over 30 years old at this point, but he gives him a little slap and I was like, oh.
You're like, oh, gotta go to AO3 now and check out what they have on that.
So many, like, you know, the dean from Community, this better not awaken anything in me.
Oh my god, he's so good though. Like, I love Community for like, just for him. Like,
oh, Community is so good. But like, yeah. So like, at first he's like, oh, I'm gonna marry the princess because I want power. But then he's like, it's just for power. It's just for power. Like, because I'm gonna behead her after anyway. But then like, okay, but if it's just for power, why are you putting her in a little like sexy like red outfit and making these comments about? That are gross. Again, she is 15 years old.
I know. I feel like the live action movie sort of like fixed that a little bit and put them a lot closer in age between Jafar and Jasmine. So
yeah.
Like, but he also doesn't do any of that
he's
stuff
not,
in the remake.
Well,
so.
Yeah, it's a fine line to walk because now he's just boring. And it will, because there were a couple, I know we had said we weren't going to really get into Twisted, but I just want to mention like,
oh no, we can get into it.
Because you and I, so for anybody who didn't listen, I rewatched it after we talked about it last time. It is so good. So for anyone who didn't listen to last week's episode or missed this part, Twisted, there's a musical theater troupe called Starkid. They put all their musicals on YouTube for free. And they have one for like about 8 years ago called Twisted, which is like it's an Aladdin parody musical that's kind of loosely based on like the idea of Wicked, like where the villain was actually the hero the whole time. And so it's about Jafar. And first of all, like, and Ryan, you and I were talking about this on texting, but like Jafar in Twisted is unambiguously straight. Yeah. But other than that, it's a really, really good, it's a really good musical. There were actually a few points where I like teared up because they just did a really good job of like showing like a different like side of the story and then kind of reframing it as more of like the evil, the person who you thought was the hero was not, but he's the one telling the story.
Yeah. There's it, not to play on the pun of the title of the musical,
with this
but
beard. Oh,
it literally
beard.
Twists so many times in that movie. I mean, in that yeah. show, like there's just a lot of twists and turns.
And just to be clear,
like
I highly recommend watching it. It is not for children. It is NSFW
so good,
to the
though.
Max. Yeah. Don't watch it with your kids.
The music's
and
great.
It's also like over 2 hours long, but it flies by. Really, the music is really good.
It's so funny.
But
it's like so funny.
Yeah. My favorite exchange, when at the beginning of Aladdin, when the thief says I had to slit a few throats, like that's like my favorite exchange in Twisted, where the thief says that to him and he's just like, you had to what? And then he keeps like saying like, oh no, it's a joke. It's just like, or it's just a figure of speech. But then he like, oh, but he really like busted my balls, like, he what? Oh no, it's a figure of speech. And then like it just like keeps escalating.
It is really, really funny. It is a great show. And they like made a character from the movie like so iconic. So the character Ahmed, who like,
I was gonna say, the actor that plays him, now that I've rewatched Aladdin, his voice is exactly perfect.
I know, that's what I said too, because so Ahmed is the prince that shows up at the beginning of the movie
and then is never seen again. Yep.
Woo Jasmine, and then you see him leaving after Raja has like torn a hole in his pants to show off his heart boxers, and he talks like this all the time. He's like, now my name, like he's got like the Skeletor voice going on, like, and yeah, he's dressed in all pink. He's another gay character in this movie. I wrote this down because I was like, Ahmed is gay, he's wearing all pink, he literally has a whip like that he just like is using for some reason, and he talks like this, and he's got like pink boxers with little hearts on it. It's just like, yeah, Jasmine like refused him because like a gay man walked in and was like, hey Jasmine, you want to get married? It was like, oh my god. But Ahmed, anyway, so in the movie he's like a 2 second bit in the movie, and in Twisted the show they like turn him,
he's
into,
like the main antagonist.
But it's so funny, like just so iconic, and I'm like now obsessed with Ahmed. And he's like my favorite character in the movie, even though he doesn't do anything, because of what Twisted has warped in my brain. So very, this is how good that show is.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. So like going back to Jafar, let's see. I made a note that he always curtsies and he doesn't bow, but he wants everyone to bow to him, which is really funny. And there's a line at one point where, you know, like that whole thing you were talking about with him going after Jasmine. That wasn't his idea. That was Yago's idea. Where
also note the fact that when the genie owns him, when he owns genie, genie suddenly is ripped.
Oh yeah, I know. That's like a weird thing too. It's like, I think the genie has to be like his sexual desires. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, the genie is like a gay character, right? He's a queer character, right, that wants to match what his master wants, which again that's also pretty gay. Like it's like the master sub situation. There's literal bondage going on here, especially since genie is like, he's got like the wrist things on, and he's like, I have to do whatever you tell me to do, right? And like Jafar is like, get ripped, you know. You're gonna look ripped around me.
But that couldn't have been a wish, so no. Yeah, that's my question.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff here that's not explained, and the other movie tries to explain it, like why does nobody recognize Aladdin, and like Will Smith's like, it's genie magic, you know,
like, whereas Twisted is just like, oh, everybody recognizes him,
like, no, it's
cares.
So funny because Aladdin walks right in and they're like, oh hey Aladdin, and they're like, how'd you see me? You're just wearing different clothes. Yeah. It's so good. Oh my god, we're gonna talk about Twisted for the rest of this anyway.
Yeah,
Jafar is very queer, and there's a lot about like the way he stands and his queer coding, and we talked about his predatoriness that is also like the bad queer coding. But it's like, you know, he's got the Hades gown thing going on, he's got like the eyeliner, his pinkies are always up, he's always got the a better than thou you attitude, and his, oh my god, his voice is like perfect. It's like the perfect catty gay character that like the villain, you know. It's like, I don't know, he's so good. I was obsessed with Jafar, like, you know, I loved Ursula, but I really latched on to Jafar, and then like after that it was Scar that I super liked, and later Hades. But I think Jafar might have been like really my first of the Disney villains that like I really liked. Like, I liked Ursula, don't get me wrong, but like I didn't own like half of Ursula's wardrobe like I did with Jafar. So, you know.
Where Ursula's wardrobe is just like a black tunic, basically.
But like, that's not far off from what Jafar is wearing, which is just like a black,
that's
I don't know, bathrobe.
He's got the hat, though. He's got that's the hat. True.
He does have the hat.
The hat is great. Everybody's gay, except for Aladdin and Jasmine, as we spoke
about.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. Even the Sultan. The Sultan?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sultan's like a little, like, jolly old Santa man.
He is. He's like a little bear. There's no mom. They don't even reference it in the original movie.
Yeah, they don't even care.
But there's a line that he has that made me laugh really hard where he's like a single dad. And the Sultan's like, I don't know where Jasmine comes from. Her mother certainly wasn't so picky. And I'm like, yeah, that's because, like, she was just comfortable being with a gay man. Like, I don't know. It's just really funny. And his voice is just also very funny. And, like, also gay, making, like, it's another gay stereotype. We're not kind of talking like this. Which they make fun of in Twisted also when he comes out. And they're like,
oh,
like,
yeah, the voice.
Listen to his godly voice. And then they turn to him. He's like,
many years ago.
Many years ago. I love Twisted so much. It's like truly an inspiration.
But this is how straight Aladdin and Jasmine are, because Aladdin was based, his body was supposed, or his whole self, I guess, was supposedly designed after Tom Cruise. While his sexuality,
I was gonna say, now that's really doesn't help the case at all.
Well, I would say so, yeah, like people, you know, people joke that maybe Tom Cruise isn't 100% straight. Nobody, you know, knows for sure. But I think in terms of like typical masculinity, especially at the time, like the early 90s, that's like the straightest straight you could get at the time, as far as anybody was concerned.
What about Jasmine? Do we know?
I don't know. But she doesn't give off any lesbian vibes because she literally has no other female characters to talk to.
I know. And the live action remake, they gave her
like a little
that
buddy.
Handmaiden that becomes the genie's love interest, who was like a really fun addition to the movie, honestly. Like, I wasn't expecting to feel that way, but
yeah,
she's like,
cute. Nassim Pedrad,
Dahlia, yeah. And she's just very funny and like adds a lot to the scenes where like there's things being super awkward. She's like, yeah, you're doing great. Like, I don't know.
I remember that now. Yeah.
Oh, also in the remake, they didn't have Ahmed. They had a different Prince Anders, who was also super queer. Like, he was like, he was big gay and flamboyant in like the exact same ways that Oaken and Frozen is. Oaken's like openly gay, right?
Who's like, he played by? Because I thought he was played by like a Broadway actor or something.
Who, Prince Anders?
Yeah. And Billy, he wasn't portrayed as like a villain. He was just portrayed as like a guy, like just a guy that she didn't want.
Prince Anders, another queer character. That's what I was like. I'm like, you know what? There actually still is some queer stuff happening in the live action version of this. Not as much as the original, but like, I kind of wonder if they could tell this version of Aladdin without it being like queer, because that this first movie is like just so queer. You
and
know?
It's a very like colorful, flamboyant movie. Like,
it is. It, yeah. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's fun. Like, I think it's all a lot of fun. And the Cave of Wonders, definitely gay. No, just kidding. You enter in through his mouth. Like,
I pictured it as kind of ace, but okay. You know.
Yeah, right. I know. There actually was a point in the movie where Apu is in drag, and I was like, like every character.
You mean
in this movie,
Abu?
Oh yeah, sorry, Abu. Abu is in drag.
Okay, so I figured, like, I was thinking about it as like, so Abu is like super jealous of Jasmine, and yeah. I'm like, okay, so because we had talked about in Beauty and the Beast how like in the original, LeFou was actually did not show a lot of signs of jealousy towards Belle. He like when Belle rejected Gaston, like he encouraged him to move on, but he wasn't like mad that Gaston was trying to marry her. But Abu is like super mad that Aladdin's into Jasmine. And I'm like, why didn't he get like the gay sidekick treatment?
I don't know.
Because he's monkey, and Hollywood has a prejudice against monkeys.
I don't know. We don't need to dive into Hollywood's long history of their issues with monkeys. Like,
we are. I feel like
I feel like Nope covered that one pretty well. so.
Oh God! Yeah. That was good.
This movie's great. I mean, it like, is really, and I love Jafar, man. I just, what an icon! Like, was he really like the first one post Ursula that was like the next in the queer lineage of villains? I think he was
because it was Little Mermaid, then Beauty and the Beast, and then
Gaston was there, because I bypassed my favorite Gaston.
Oh, you're right. Well, he was like the first, like after Ursula, he was like the first like flamboyant one.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Gaston is queer coded in a different kind of way.
He is. I mean, like, Gaston was, we talked about it, but he's, like, just so masculine, he's got to hide it, where I don't feel like Jafar's hiding that he's gay. But then again, nobody in Aladdin seems that they're, like, it seems like a pretty, like, liberal community, except that, like, if you're a daughter, you have to be forced into marriage.
Yeah.
But, like.
Okay, I had a question about that.
Which part?
All right. So what literally, so the Sultan is like, the law says you have to be married. And then at the end, he's like, oh, but I can change the law. And I'm like, okay. Like,
then
great.
Why
didn't
you do that to begin with?
Well, no. That's not my question. I'm like, okay, you're a bumbling idiot. You didn't realize it. But literally, what happens if she doesn't marry? What happens? What are the consequences to that? Like, do they really, like, has no one asked that question?
Yeah, and then meanwhile, like, Jafar's like pulling out a scroll that says, oh, she marries me, it says it right here, and the Sultan's like, where? And he's like, can't look right
but
now.
But like the law, like, usually when there's a law you have some kind of consequence for not following that law. And like, okay, but what happens if she do they really believe like her ovaries are gonna shrivel up the day after she turns 16? And also yeah. Also, if the whole thing is like you only have 3 days and the whole movie takes place like over 3 days, doesn't that mean that the last scene takes place during her birthday? In which case, why does no one wish her a happy birthday?
Wow, Rachel, you have a lot of time to think about this.
Oh, I had an hour.
I think it was like, because Jasmine was your favorite princess growing up that you just like.
No, I just thought about this today. I literally just thought about this. Like, first of all, the end of the movie takes place on our 16th birthday. And second of all, what is the consequence of not obeying this law? Like, who has to pay and what do they have to pay? And why?
I don't know, because then like 2 seconds later, the Sultan also changes another law where he's like, you don't actually even need to marry a prince. Like, it's like there's so many laws that Sultan can just change at any given time. But he's like, he's a poorly queer-coded character where he's like, oh, he's a fat, jolly, gay old man. So he's like fat and dumb and really happy. And like, oh man. And it's like, and he's gay. So he's like really nice. And it's like, what? I don't know. Sultan's a weird character, right? Like, I don't
so
understand
weird.
His deal. In the live action remake, they took such a different approach with his character, and he doesn't actually get to do as much as the original one does, but I don't know, the Sultan in Aladdin is like freaking Winnie the Pooh, like in terms of like characteristics, not even like both physically and personality wise where he's also kind of dumb, you know,
he's got his little toys.
Yeah, he does have his little toys. They talk about that too, which is also kind of like queer. Like, and that's, which is a weird thing to say because I feel like everybody has toys now, but like at the time that this movie was made, people that had toys as adults were generally seen as a queer person, you know. I don't know if you remember this, but that like was a thing in the 90s, in the early 90s.
Oh yeah, there was that episode of The Simpsons where John Waters played that character who like they figured out he was gay because he had like a lot of dolls.
Yes. And that's why that's another part of the queer coding to the Sultan in this, because that's like how it was back then. It's so wild how like all the politics around that has changed. And also how our generation collects toys. Like,
Oh, I have regularly. Tons. Me and my husband both have like tons of little action figures of like whatever characters like we like. And of course, like, with the Funko Pops and everything, like,
oh my god, the Funko Pops are like out of control.
Yeah. Oh my god,
there are like a disease sweeping the nation.
I don't care for them, but yeah, it is fascinating.
I have like one. Well, actually,
I have a couple, but
I have a few that people bought for me for the most part.
Mm-hmm, same.
I think the only one I bought myself was the Powerline one, because I was like, okay, I will buy Powerline because. at the time, Powerline didn't get any merch. And now it's like Powerline has become like a big merch seller.
Oh, people
for Disney.
Finally figured out Powerline is so hot and cool.
Yeah. They're like, we can see, I was sitting here trying to figure out how we could do a Goofy movie on this show because I was like, that's my favorite Disney movie. It's so straight. But then I always remember, I'm like, but Powerline is based on Prince. Prince is non-gendered. Like, you know, so there is like a queerness there. And Max,
yeah, but could we stretch a
him.
Whole episode out of just Powerline?
I don't know. I don't know if we can. But you're right, it's so straight laced. It's like, it's really kind of hard. I would argue maybe like Bobby is bisexual, but like whatever.
Yeah. Also, like, okay, I just want to mention one more thing because this is nothing to do with queer coding, but it was something that really struck me is like how often the characters invoke Allah. And I'm like, okay,
yeah, I was
that's
thinking
fine.
About that too when I was watching it.
It takes place in the Middle East, like they're Muslim characters, but like it's interesting to me because in a Disney movie that takes place in a Western culture, they're not saying God or Jesus.
I thought the same thing because it's not like the war that has been going on like wasn't happening then. Like it was, but like we just heard a lot more about it post 9/11, right?
I mean, there's always been like tensions in the Middle East and the US
exactly.
is always like, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it was kind of wild. I feel like if they made Aladdin in 2003, they would have changed.
I don't know
those.
If they would have made this in 2003.
I think it's just like it's lucky. Yeah, exactly. I feel like Aladdin just landed at the right time in terms of releasing mm-hmm. it because like they did like 1992 and then 2019 when things had sort of turned around and we had tried to change the incorrect political the political incorrectness that we've had
yeah.
towards that culture. Aladdin's a great example of that. Miss Marvel's another great example of that.
They try, but you're still talking about a production company that is still run primarily by white people, and decisions about this movie are still being made primarily by white people.
They like, are getting better at Disney where they're like turning around,
they're
like,
trying.
Especially with like MCO
yeah.
stuff. They're like, all right, we're gonna get a black person to direct Black Panther. You know, like that.
Yeah.
Like that. They are doing those kinds of things. The person who
But like the fact that like that Aladdin has so much racial stereotypes in it makes the queer coding of it, especially of Jafar, like even more problematic.
No, I agree, but I think that's part of it. I think that is like where they were able to pull this queer coding and put it in all these different stereotypes because they're like, look at that country over there. Aren't they crazy? Like, look how queer they are. Like, you know, it's just like, it's just another piece of like what makes their culture so crazy over there because like they live in the desert and they're doing all this wacky and they're queer. You know, like that is just like very American, you know, because mm-hmm. that's what we do with everything is like, well, not as much as we used to, but like definitely in the 90s. And it's weird because in the 90s, we were doing this whole like, let's try to like be more inclusive thing, but like in a really racist kind of way.
Yeah.
Anyway, Aladdin's a great movie. Love
it
Aladdin.
It's really good. Watch Aladdin. Go watch Twisted.
Yeah.
Watch the remake if you're feeling like you have time after that, but just watch Twisted.
It's not
it's
necessary.
Better.
I am probably going to watch the other movie tomorrow while I'm working, Aladdin and the King of Thieves. I don't remember that one as much as I remember Return of Jafar in the first movie.
Yeah, it was okay. It didn't
okay.
have Jafar in it.
I want to know why Disney Plus hasn't uploaded the Aladdin TV show yet. I might just end up watching like all the Aladdin stuff. This didn't happen with like anything else we watched. I think like it really just hit this like nostalgia point for myself. And I was like, give me more Aladdin, you know?
Well, Aladdin, like he's a really fun character. Like, you know, I know he's like super straight and everything. But I don't know. I found him to be a more interesting lead than like Hercules.
I agree with that. And when you go to the Disney parks, whoever's playing Aladdin at that time, they get like some of the best actors on him. They really.
Yeah, we just met him. We just met an Aladdin at a 1900 Park Fair at during our recent trip.
Yeah, it was good.
He's
though.
Super
like,
cute.
He's,
yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like usually the actors that stand out to me at Disney World are usually the ones playing the villains because they just have such a wide range of what they can mm-hmm. do. But like,
yeah.
Like all the videos I see of the different cast members that are playing Aladdin, like they're always like so good at like improvising and also like having like that energy that Aladdin has, you know. I don't know. I have a lot of respect for it. So I want to go on a magic carpet ride with Johnny Lawrence from Cobra Kai.
We'll come down to Orlando. We'll go on the magic carpets of Aladdin. And
I was just thinking
bring
that.
A cardboard cutout. And
it's going to be like you and April and one car and then me with the cardboard cutout and the other one. April's like, what is he doing, Mom? She's going to yell at me, she's going to tell me to get out of the magic carpets.
Well, here's what she'll do, because the carpets have two rows, and the front row makes the carpet go up and down, and the back row supposedly makes it lean back or forward. I have yet to figure out how it works, but if you happen to be in the front row and you are not getting the altitude to her liking, that is when she will tell you to get out.
I love it so much. Mm-hmm. April is a queen.
Oh yeah.
she's picked it. All right. So what are we watching next?
So I was thinking, I don't know, but I was thinking that everything we've watched so far has been Renaissance or post-Renaissance. So maybe it's time to do something a little more classic.
Oh, you mean like pre-Renaissance? Mm-hmm. You know what? I've got the answer for us, because So my friend messaged me and asked me like when we were going to do Great Mouse Detective on here.
That's like just pre-Renaissance too.
Yeah. And she was like, are you gonna do it soon? I'm like, I don't know, like, well, we're just kind of like winging it week to week.
I'm thinking about just like the one look that Basil gives Radigan, and yeah. I'm like, yeah, let's watch that.
Well, I mean, this for is based science. Off of Sherlock Holmes, right? Like the, yeah. All three of them are gonna be kind of queer, like that is how it goes. I know, but that's what she cited specifically. She was like, and then, oh, are you gonna cover that, Radigan?
If we want to take a break from movies, we should talk about like Journey into Imagination.
Yeah, and I think that we should do the Howard Ashman movie that's on Disney.
Mm, yeah, I have to be in a good mood for that because I'll be crying a lot.
Okay, well, we don't need to do it this week. Right now, we're going to go watch Radigan Be Gay.
Yay!
If you are enjoying this show, please share it with your friends. We are trying to expand our listenership right now. And if you have anything that you super want to see us talk about on the show, you can write into us at, let me make sure I say the right thing because I said it wrong last time. loveisanopendoorpodcast@gmail.com. You can also send in your listener mail there. We'll read it on the show. We are on Instagram and on Facebook and Twitter in Blue Sky. And I'm at Ryan Pagello on all those platforms. And on Blue Sky, I am at Roller Ryan. And Rachel, where are you?
Pretty much just on Instagram, hipster_mouse. I don't post very often, but you are welcome to follow me. I try to post about things that are of interest to me, which including Disney and whatever else I'm occupying my mind.
Yeah. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So that's a wrap. It was kind of nice. We actually had like a lot of fun things to talk about Aladdin today. Like,
we did, and like, we finished like, fairly early.
We did. Well, I feel like our first two episodes, we were very studious about our like analysis of the movies, and then we're like talking about Greek mythology and getting into that, and then we like just ripped on Wish for an entire episode. Oh, God. And here we are with Aladdin, and it was like a lot of fun. Like, I really enjoyed this.
I feel so bad about the Wish episode because I've had people be like, oh, what was your like latest episode about? It's like about Wish. Like, oh, I loved Wish. And I'm like,
this music of Wish that I really like. I still really love that one song that like I said I liked in there.
Yeah.
So I keep listening to it repeatedly on Spotify. But anyway, that's a wrap. We'll see you on the next podcast with all the gay characters from Sherlock Holmes in their mouse forms. And remember, everybody, you'll never have a friend just like either of us. That's gay, too. Genie's screaming, you'll never have a friend like me because he's gay AF. Oh, my God. All right. This has been real. I'll see you all in the next one. Bye.
Me too. Bye.
Me too.
I don't know.
Also, Rachel.
I got nothing else.